Thanks, Joel, for sharing those things. We want to have a heart like Nehemiah in the way he gave leadership. The thing that's been on my heart lately is I've kind of sensed, I think that, not all, but I think there's definitely a sense of, man, there's crazy things going on in the world around us. And that can produce different things in people. And I think for some it can produce fear. For others, it can produce unrest, like what's going on and trying to figure things out. And I was like, we do know. I mean, John said, my little children, it's the last hour. So that was a long time ago. So we do know that we are getting well on in that hour that he was talking about. So we do know that. But I was trying to think, what should our focus be and what should our response be in these times where we see there's a lot of chaos going on around us? And I wanted to look in Matthew chapter 24, because the disciples were talking to Jesus here. And they were talking about things that were going to come near the end. So in verse 3, 24:3, it says something. It says, now as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So they had a question for Jesus, and they were worried about kind of like, what's the sign of the end of the age? When are these things going to be, etc.? And here's Jesus' answer. It says, then Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. His first way of addressing it is, be careful, there's going to be deception. He says, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and deceive many. And you're going to hear all kinds of things, wars, right? You're going to hear about earthquakes, famines, pestilences. We're going to hear about all these things. But the thing I want to focus in, honey, is the word deception. Think, be careful, right, that no one deceives you. I think the key thing here, and if we even go through, it keeps going as you go through chapter 24, verse 11, it says, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. We see this deception, right? Verse 24, false Christs and false prophets will rise up and show great signs and wonders to bring deception. So this is like the key, is we don't want to be deceived. And so how is it that we can avoid deception? What is the key to avoiding deception? What should our focus as those that want to be wholehearted followers of Christ, what is our focus ought to be in times and stressful times, kind of like we're living? What should our focus be? And we know there's even in our passage, 1 Timothy 4, it says, well, I'll just read it quickly. It talks about in the last times again. It's kind of solidifying the same thing. 1 Timothy 4 says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. But once again, giving heed to deceiving spirits. There's a time of deception in the latter times. And so how do we avoid the deception? And there's a passage that many of us have read before in 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 9. It says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, or deceptive wonders. We've read about this already today. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive a love of the truth that they may be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they may all be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And so I really think it's important for us in this time where there can be, it's like, man, we're in these stressful times. What's going on? What's God doing? What is the enemy trying to do? What's going on in this time? We know that we have to beware of deception. And this passage is giving us a clue to how to avoid being deceived. It says that we need to receive a love of the truth that we might be saved. And I strongly believe this salvation is not a natural salvation, but it's a spiritual saving, right? We need to love the truth to avoid the deception, and we can be saved that way. We can be saved from deception. And so this truth that we need to believe, I think, is really important. What is the truth we need to believe? Because there's a lot of truths. Some people would say all truth is God's truth. So, you know, I studied mathematics, right? There's a lot of things there that I think are amazing. In my mind, they're true. We know 2 plus 2 equals 4. We know the root of 2 is an irrational number. And we can prove it. Like, it's amazing how mathematics works. I think God has actually designed mathematics. I don't think it's man-made. God has made mathematics to work wonderfully. That's an area of many truths. But I don't think those are the truths that we need to believe to save us. And we can find truths in many other realms. There can be just truths in situations, like who did what. There can be a truth in that situation. But knowing that truth about some natural situation is not the truth that's going to save us. What's the truth that's going to save us from deception? I think that's really important to know. And it's this truth that we need to set our minds on, right? So set your mind on things above, things that are pure, noble, good, and true. There's been times in my life where I'm like, well, but that could be true. I better set my mind on it. But I know it just makes me anxious. That's not the truth that's going to save us. That's not the truth we have to be setting our mind on. It might be true that somebody committed all kinds of heinous crimes and things you don't even want to think about, but it's true. Should I set my mind on those things? No. So what is the truth that we need to set our minds on? That's the one that's going to deliver us from deception. And that's what I think we need to be focused on in these days. What is the truth that's going to save us? And so I'm going to put forth that the number one truth that you and I need to believe is the truth that God speaks into our life when he's trying to convict us of sin and conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. That can come through an anointed message you listen on the internet. It can come through something you hear in church. It can come through a text from a brother and sister during the week as you're just sharing and trying to encourage one another. All of a sudden, ooh, I'm convicted. Right? As I sit in Bible study on Friday night and hear a brother sharing or a sister sharing, all of a sudden, man, you know what? I need to overcome in that area. I've had maybe some of that grumbling or complaining, negative talk maybe in my workplace. Lord, I need to be saved from that. All of a sudden, there's a truth there that I need to believe. Or I can choose to reject it. Yeah, but Jesus tried to bring truth, really simply put, into Adam and Eve's life. Adam, did you eat? In other words, Adam, tell me the truth. Do you agree with what I'm trying to point out in your life? Well, Eve, she gave it to me. He was not loving the truth. She did the same thing. We need to love the truth. When God, by his Holy Spirit, speaks into our life and he starts to point out areas where we're unlike Christ, we're falling short of the very image and glory of God, what do we do? Do we just try to make excuses? Or do we say, you know what, I'm going to love that truth. And if I love that truth, what I'm going to do, I'm going to agree with it. I'm going to say, you know what, God? It's true. I got impatient this week, and the way I spoke to my children was out of anger. It was not right. But I was justified. I mean, they needed to hear. No. The way I said it, whether I said it what I said was true or not, that's not the point. But do I receive the conviction, right, and say, Lord, I'm going to agree with this. I need changing. I need to be changed. So number one, I really think the truth that we need to believe is when the Holy Spirit convicts us in our life and points out the areas where we're falling short. Second thing I think we need to love is we need to love the truth of God's word. Right? We need to love the truth of God's word. When we're reading it and we read things that contradict things we may believe or contradict things we may have been taught, contradict things we may have been taught by people we really respect. Like, Lord, but what does your word say? Do I love your word? Do I love your word? Lord, show me. Am I in error? I'm willing to change. Lord, I want to understand your truth. I want to understand your word. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is not, like I say, some kind of natural truth. If it was a natural truth that we need to believe, like I say, there's many truths that are natural, and I think God's established them. But those are not the truths that are going to save us. Because if that's the case, then I would have to say that the wise and the prudent would have an advantage over those of us that might be more simply minded. Because some of them got doctorates in some of these fields of mathematics. They understand way more. They're astrophysicists. They know way more. They do not have an advantage over you and I. Look in Matthew chapter 11. I'm not going to read this chapter, but this chapter is going through something, right? First, John the Baptist there, he's trying to figure out, like, who is this Christ? Is he really the Christ? And they're saying, well, go tell him this, right? In verse 5, the blind see, the lame walk, right? He's trying to point out who he is. People aren't getting it. Then Jesus talked about, who'd you go into the wilderness to see? They didn't perceive who John the Baptist was. He was an anointed person from God trying to show them the way. They missed it. Then he's like, look it, Jesus came and you call him a wine bibber and a glutton. He came in a different way. You didn't perceive that he was the anointed one, right? The Christ. You didn't perceive it. Look it, he did all these mighty works in verse 20, but they didn't repent. These cities didn't perceive who this spiritual man was. They were missing the spiritual truths. It's not natural truths. John the Baptist was sent by God for a purpose. Jesus, obviously, was sent by God for the purpose. They missed it. Right? Verse 24, but I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you who've seen all these signs that are pointing that I'm the anointed one. You did not perceive the spiritual truth in the situation. Verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. What things? It's the spiritual truth. It's not a natural truth. It's a spiritual truth, first of all, who John the Baptist was, who Jesus was. He's saying, Father, you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent, but you've revealed them to babes. And the reason I think this is so important is because the truth you and I need to believe today that's going to deliver us from the deception is not a natural truth. It's not trying to understand everything perfectly in the natural sense. It's a spiritual. Lord Jesus, what are you doing here? If you are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, that's how our sanctification happens. He's here to make us holy. He's convicting us of little things here and there, day by day. And he's conforming us into that image, the image of his Son. I guarantee you, you're not going to be deceived. That has to be our focus. He's not going to say, yeah, I'm your Heavenly Father, your holy Heavenly Father. I've given you my Holy Spirit. You're being sensitive to his promptings. I'm cleansing you. I'm making you into a holy son or daughter. But you didn't understand everything that's going on around you, and so you got deceived. It's not going to happen. We need to have a love for the truth right here. Lord, are we willing to receive that? That is the key. And I'm just going to read that verse there in 2 Thessalonians again. Chapter 2, verse 12. I'll start in verse 10. It says, first of all, because they did not receive a love of the truth, that they may be saved. So this truth that's going to save them, it's a spiritual salvation. It's saving them from sin. How do I know that? Keep reading. Verse 11, for this reason, God will send them, that is who those who don't love the spiritual truth about their condition, that they may believe the lie, that they may be all condemned who do not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This truth was trying to expose their unrighteousness so they could be saved. And that's what he came to do, to save us primarily from sin. That's what he came to save us from. He came to save us from sin. That's the truth that we need to believe. Look here in 2 Timothy, another fantastic passage. I'll start in verse I'll just read verse 19. 2 Timothy 2:19, it says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." The Lord knows those who are his. They believe the truth when he speaks it into their heart. And what do? They take it to heart. They repent and they depart from iniquity. This is how the Lord knows those who are his. This has to be the burden of our heart. This has to be the burden of our heart. Look at Matthew 7, 21. Very similar. It's saying the same thing. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'But Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Right? These words are in red. Right? Jesus spoke these words, if you have a red letter edition. Right? Look at the ones who practice lawlessness, he doesn't know. That's what it's equating in that verse. Right? The ones that he knows, they practice righteousness. It says that. 1 John 2, look what it says. What are we practicing? 1 John 2:28 says, "And now, little children," the same little children he told them it was the last hour 2,000 years ago, he says, "abide in him," that is in Christ, "that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him." This is the key. Are we loving it when he convicts us? Oh, man, the way I spoke to my wife. It's not right. I got to repent of that. Lord, I see I'm loving money here a little bit. Lord, there's probably more than I even see, but Lord, you're allowing me to see some of it. Do I love the truth? It says, no one can serve two masters. Either he'll love the one and hate the other, or vice versa, right? You cannot serve God and mammon or money. We cannot serve both. Do we love that truth? I heard it said this way, and I was like, man, is that true? Because you know what it's easy to do is compare to others. Yeah, but I'm not doing what they're doing. If that's what we're doing, we've missed it all together. Who wants to be free from whatever it is that you're struggling with, free from the love of money, just like Jesus was? I want to be as free from the love of money as Jesus was. Is that in your heart? Is that your desire? I want to be free from being angry or caring about other people's opinions or being selfish, just like Jesus was. That should be our standard. And the day we see him, we shall be like him. But everyone who has this hope, what are they doing? They're purifying themselves just as he is pure. This should be our focus in these last times. You know what? I don't know the exact day or the hour. No one does. But we know what we do know. It's getting closer every day. And we're like 2,000 years closer. And we're like 2,000 years into that last hour. So surely we're in the last part of the last hour. But do we have to live in fear and try to figure everything out? Lord, it's simple devotion to Jesus. This is the key, right? Lord, I'm going to receive the conviction when you give it to me. And I want to repent when you show me. This applies to me, just like every one of us. This is the way to avoid deception in the last days. This is the key. Very simple message. Very simple message. Look at this in Romans 13, 11. It says, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." Absolutely true. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Right? Let us put off sin, right? Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk as Jesus walked, right? "Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife." Strife, divisions, tensions, and envy. Wanting more, being envious of others, what they have. but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. That summarizes the message. How do we avoid deception? Right there. There it is. There's a verse that ties right into this in Thessalonians again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says something. Verse 4, it says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so this day should not overtake you as a thief." Thieves come unexpectedly. But we can be ready. We can avoid deception. By what? By not walking in lewdness and lust, by not walking in darkness, by being of the day. There's the key. We don't have to live in fear while trying to figure it all out. We don't have to figure it all out. It's really simple. It's right here. Lord, you and me, Lord, help me. Purify me. Lord, help me to be sensitive to those convictions when you give me. Help me to love your word when I see things in there that are new and maybe contradict something I haven't seen before. Lord, help me to love the truth. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Mary and Martha. Martha was doing good things. You know, it can kind of be like trying to figure out the truth in all these situations. Doing some good things, but it's not the truth that saves. What did Mary do? She was listening to Jesus. She was sitting right there with him. Lord, show me. Lord, I want to walk in the light. But I don't want to be in darkness. I don't want to be making many provisions. She was right there getting that spiritual truth. And that's what we need. Right? Otherwise, we can be anxious. We can be concerned and kind of tossed to and fro a little bit. Man, there's so many crazy things. And we can be fearing different things. We don't have to fear. We need to walk in the light. Walking simply with Jesus. This is my encouragement and also my challenge for myself as well. Lord, are we being sensitive to your leading? We want to avoid deception. When are these things going to be? Tell us, what's the sun here coming? Deception. That's the number one thing. How do we avoid deception? Loving the truth. Not a natural truth, but a spiritual truth. Maybe we can just pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord, that you are for us, you're not against us, and you want us to learn to have peace and rest in our hearts. Lord, we know in this world we will have tribulation, but we can still be of good cheer because you have overcome the world. And Lord, you can help us, Lord, to walk simply and humbly with you, have that simple love relationship and long to please you in every way. Lord, put that into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.